I dropped my coffee cup, my Chuck Berry coffee cup, went all over my table and messed up my Hall of Fame ballot. I was about to check off Rondé Barber's name.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Thanks to Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman Podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Right now at billcurryford.com, you can fall into savings, all kinds of savings. The new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT, lease for $287 a month. The 2019 Ford Ranger, a beautiful, beautiful truck. The Ranger is back, lease for $329 a month. 0% APR is available on so many models. BillCurryFord.com. Get all the details there. Tampa's first family of Ford is there for you. Mention JoeBucksFan.com and let General Manager Sean Sullivan know you are always going to get an extra special over-the-top discount for that. BillCurryFord.com. Now, Ira, as many of you know, because you've joined him, his Buffalo Wild Wings World Tour continues, where he will watch the game, the Bucks game, with you at a local Buffalo Wild Wings. The schedule is at joebucksfan.com. You can find your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings just for a great time at buffalowildwings.com. But Ira will be October 27th, Sunday, in Largo, Ulmerton Road, Buffalo Wild Wings. That's the next watch party. It's a lot of fun. And you get to hang out with a sage. What could be better than that? And we want to thank our friends at Pin Chasers, their 60th anniversary serving the Tampa Bay community. Congratulations to them. Join Pin Chasers Sunday nights, 9 o'clock. Unlimited bowling, cyber bowling, lots of fun. $2 Blue Moons, $3 cocktails. Go to pinchasers.net for all the details. And their huge party, save the date, November 3rd, the 60th anniversary party. They're going to have 60-cent games, 60-cent fries, 60-cent hot dogs, sodas. It's going to be a one heck of a party. Pinchasers.net, great place to bowl. Just really a great place to get out and have fun playing games and getting off the couch in Tampa Bay. All right, here is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, featuring and starring the Baron of Buffalo Wild Wings, the Custodian of Canton, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the one and only Ira Kaufman. Now, Ira, we were emotional Sunday night when we recorded the last podcast. It was at the International Embarrassment, and I will forever refer to it as that. It was ugly, but couple days under our belt after that game, after that podcast, your feedback.
Mr. DeKemper, if you're hoping that I have calmed down, you will be bitterly disappointed. There's thunder, there's lightning in the air. You know, going into that London game, I was a little jealous of everybody that was going overseas. That's a great trip. Maybe I could have took my wife or whatever. In retrospect, the weather sucked. It's raining, it's 50. It's London, right? It's London. The game sucked ass, as a couple of guys used to use that kind of phrase. Reggie Roberts, the old Bucks PR man, that sucked ass, you know, and that game did. And here we are, you know, 3-4 days later, and you know, they're still 2-4, bye week staring them in the face. I just did the identity Tampa 2 with Mr. Derek Brooks. Lee, Brooks's takeaway, give the Panthers credit. This quarterback's 4-0, can't beat anybody with 7 turnovers, but he also said, run the football. He said, at this stage in Jameis's career, I've never heard Brooks say this. At this stage, I mean, it almost sounds like it's his first year. He said, at this stage, he needs offensive balance to succeed. Jameis Winston. And right now, since the Rams game, maybe even a little bit before, they're lacking that offensive balance. Ronald Jones, Brooks was, you know, very surprised. He didn't touch the ball more. But, Lee, in the days since that London debacle, Winston skeptics who have been lurking in the corners of the internet and Twitter, they're unbridled. You know, they're set free. You know, except for a couple of Winston apologists, and I'm not going to call you a Winston apologist.
I'm close.
You are a Winston supporter, but not an apologist, mm-hmm. and you said he sucked on Sunday, mm-hmm. and you couldn't say anything else after Sunday. But except for those people, Lee, it looks like he's got one foot out the door. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong, because who knows what's going on behind the closed walls, One Buck Palace. Yeah, I've been communicating with someone that's behind the walls, on the inside, I should say. I get the impression, and it's not, we didn't discuss Jameis, but I just get the overall impression that either this gentleman is depressed or at best frustrated. One week this team looks fantastic, next team looks dreadful, and next week it looks fantastic, and you even remarked that a couple weeks ago. Because Javier was needling.
And that's why I'm 0-6. I can't figure him out either, Lee.
Well, the one thing this guy did mention to me, and he's right, he said, you have 7 turnovers, generally looking at 48-0. They really weren't out of that game until the last 3 minutes.
You know, that's not a bad point. That's not a bad
and
point.
And I didn't think of it that way. I was starting to lean to suggest Jameis is done. And a couple of things have pulled him back from the ledge. But the biggest thing, I want your reaction to this, the biggest thing, and when I say this, I'm not exaggerating. I almost fell out of my chair. My jaw hit the keyboard just about. No, I was absolutely shocked. I can't remember last time where I looked up a stat and was speechless. I mean, I was like, you got to be, you know, I did a Yosemite Sam. Like, I. The Bucks lead the entire NFC in scoring. The entire NFC. The only teams they trail in the NFL are the Belichick's and the Crows. And I'm like, what mental patient would get rid of a quarterback that's leading the league in points? Now, I know people are freaking out when I say that, but why is Dirk Cutter not here? There's a couple reasons. But one of the main reasons, and you brought this up before, we've all brought this up. He had a really good offense until it got in the red zone. Now, I don't know what the Bucs' red zone stats are right now, but when you go from can't scoring points to leading the conference in scoring points, that's a huge step.
Now, Lee, it helps when you put 55 on the Rams.
That does, yes.
In that regard, mm-hmm. it helps. There were some garbage points in London in retrospect. And, yes, I'm talking about you, John Gilmore. The Bucks did not almost pull that game out. That's a lot of nonsense. They lost that game and deserved to lose it. Let's go beyond the numbers a little bit, Lee. Jameis Winston is tied for the league lead in sacks. He's been dropped 25. Guess who he's tied with? Marcus Mariota.
Oh, really?
What a coincidence.
And Mariota's done.
He's got 10 picks, Lee. That doesn't lie. Some aren't his fault. Some are his fault.
Most
of them. The guy hit his arm. Nobody's going to make up that throw to Luke Kuechly. No, nobody's going to say anything about that one. So he's one behind Baker Mayfield, who's also struggling.
Did you see he being Mayfield? Leads the NFL since the start of 2018 with interceptions?
No, I didn't see
that. Yeah. And by the way, I don't hear Browns fans wanting to run him out of town.
But, Lee, I'll go back to this. They've played 6 games. I thought he was mediocre in New Orleans. Not terrible. Mediocre.
Maybe.
And lousy in 2 games. The week one against the 49ers, who turned out to, you know, they're a good team. They're a good team.
You're being polite when you say lousy.
Yeah, and I'm being a little polite.
Yeah, that's worse than lousy.
So, Lee, you can do a lot of things with numbers.
Sure.
But I think even you, now, the only guy who seems to think that Winston is definitely going to be back on the Bucs in 2020 is my fellow Hall of Fame voter, Mr. Peter King, who you very cagely captured on audio on the Mad Dog on Tuesday and sent it to me, and I dropped my coffee cup, my Chuck Berry coffee cup, went all over my table and messed up my Hall of Fame ballot. I was about to check off Rondé Barber's name. It's got coffee stains on it. Peter King, for those who didn't listen, Lee, and you were as astounded as I am, that he just came out and said it.
Yeah.
And he based this on talks with the Buck hierarchy in August. Mm-hmm. That's what makes this whole thing sound crazy. I don't want to hear about what you heard in August. I want to hear what you heard yesterday after the debacle in London. Peter King said it looks like they will try to sign him to a 2-year contract.
Just a
sort of a bridge deal.
Yeah. Like, well, a little background. Peter King had heard, and I think both of us know who he heard that from. He had heard that the Bucks were looking at signing him to a long-term contract, and King said Sunday's game, I'm quoting him now, the ghosts of Jameis' past came out, and he said now Jameis played himself into a two-year deal. And I still, even fans like, whoa, 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 two-year deal.
I know. You know, you could look at it both ways. That I don't think it makes sense either way. I'm not sure Winston would do that.
Maybe his camp may not.
His camp may not. He's not old. There's not going to be a lot of good quarterbacks on the free agent market. They never are.
They're never are. Rarely. Not since Brad Johnson.
Somebody else could look at Winston and say, we could fix this guy. And that would not be crazy that somebody thought that.
There's three wild cards.
Lee, the other side is, you know, I always go back to that great line from Arians. I think I was the one who asked the question, you know, when he came to town and they brought him in the media room. Coach, can you live with Winston interceptions? Yeah, one. I mean, that's a great line by Arians. Well, he didn't say six. No. He said one.
Well, you know,
five.
I think it was Jenna asked him. She was referencing that very question. And she said, well, you know, now the guy had five in one game. Are you concerned? He goes, if he does it again, yes, I'm concerned.
You're damn right I'll be concerned. Yeah, I saw that. That was good stuff. Lee, I'm not closing the book on Winston, unlike Rodney Harrison, who I quoted, who said it Sunday night on NBC, the Bucs will be moving on from Jameis Winston. I still think that's a little premature. I do think it is. I still think the Glazers are holding out hope.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Arians is holding out hope. Christensen, Leftwich, I don't believe they have closed the book. If they have firmly closed the book, Ryan Griffin should start in Nashville, if they have. And that has not happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Arians.
Now, Mike Vrabel looks like he has closed the book on Marcus Mariota.
Well, here's the difference between Jameis and Mariota. You know, people are just really, really... Now, I get hacked off at the fumbles. Those drive me crazy. Those should not be happening. And they are correctable. Because, for example, Mike Alsa, I remember he had fumbleitis for a while. He corrected it.
But year five, Lee, year five, that's troubling. Bothers you.
It was, I mean, I want to say Alsa, if it wasn't fifth year, it was pretty close.
Okay.
And he had fumbleitis and he corrected it. At any rate, difference between Jameis and Mariota, people are hung up on the interceptions. I'm not saying they're good, but they just go bananas. I said, okay. The Bucs should sign Mariota. He doesn't throw picks. Guess what else he doesn't do? Throw touchdowns.
That's the difference. The upside. The upside is the difference.
Yes.
Winston still has potential upside, and Mariota is what Mariota is. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever going to be different.
I can't remember who said this, and I thought it was a great analogy. They said, Mariota isn't a good quarterback. He's a good athlete playing quarterback. I thought that was, it might have been Brady Quinn.
If you're looking for a 300-yard game from Mariota, it's few and far between.
On the ground, you might, but not through the air. Peter King, and right away, you think, well, that's weird, 2 years. But then again, King said his information was they were going to sign him a long-term contract. Now there's,
But he's basing it on August information. Things have changed. Now Winston's played six games. Things have changed.
Well, he did change as well. He said that his information in August.
But he doesn't have anything fresh. He doesn't have fresh
information. But like I said, no, not fresh. But, I mean, it stands to reason. If you still want Jameis, but you're less sure of him than you were, the bid's going to go down. So that adds up. The wild cards are, like you said, Winston's camp may not go for it. They may say, well, we're going to free agency. There's three wild cards. I'll save the best for last. There's Jerry Jones. You know, Dak Prescott is not signed. And Jerry, you know, the Texans, people in Texas don't care about the baggage. You know, they just care about football. People mock me for saying this, but Belichick has a backup to Brady and maybe a successor. And Belichick's already proven he doesn't care about your baggage. He does not care. And you talk about upside. You know, Belichick is one of those guys, he could probably say, I can fix this guy. And with his resume, I'd bet on Belichick. And the third one, and this is juicy. You know, you're starting to smile.
No, I don't know where you're going.
He will be lurking in the shadows of the Bear Mountains, the glitz and the casinos of Las Vegas. His name is Chucky, who never met a quarterback he didn't like until he played for him.
I'll say one thing. Derek Carr, who's not having a bad season, and the Raiders are not having a bad season, but I don't think they could sustain it. And if they finish 7-9, I think Carr, and I don't think Carr and Gruden are a long-lasting couple.
No?
I don't. I mean, that's the way he is with quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
He
ran off his Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, he did. Wanted to run off Jeff Garcia, who was functional. ran off Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't, you know, what's the great line from Garcia? He likes to date quarterbacks. He doesn't want to marry one.
That's a good one.
Look, Winston's got 10 games to change the narrative, Lee. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he can't do it. And I am also the first to say it. And this is the most important thing that you and I will say on this podcast. Yeah, they're 2-4. Things are going wrong. Defense has to play a lot better. No question about that. Who let Mike Smith back in the building? I said that the other day. That said that just for you, Lee. But haven't said it. The schedule's not that bad. It's now, I don't think they're going to beat Tennessee and Seattle. I think they could easily split, mm-hmm. especially, and I mean win in Nashville, with Ryan Tannehill. All right, Ryan Tannehill. Who is he?
A backup?
Tennessee's a 7-8 win team. You know, now somebody would say, who are the Bucks right now? True. Well, they got to play better. They got to play better. And the schedule after Seattle, I think, improves dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You got New Orleans, tough game. Yeah. No question about it. And I think there's one other tough game down the road, but Atlanta
twice.
Atlanta's terrible.
They're terrible, but it's a division foe. You can't take them lightly.
No question about it.
Jacksonville, did you play? I know that.
That's right.
And I'll say two quick things about Jameis, and we can move on to other things. And I have a good segue. One, in Jameis' favor, and there's no question he was horrid beyond words the other day up in London. But when you're leading your conference in points, and Ira, tell me if I'm wrong, that offense is not humming. It seems disjointed. They really, you know, until I see it, they don't have a running game. Okay, here or there, they have a nice little run, but has Jones or Barber had a 100-yard game? Not yet. Now, Jones, he should be starting. He should be getting the ball more. Like you said, Derek Brooks said the same thing. They really have no run. It's a blah running game. They are not utilizing their tight ends in the passing game like they should be. And they're forcing the ball to Scotty Miller, which is a mystery I can't solve. And yet they're leading the conference in points despite that. So you talked about upside a minute ago. This whole offense has upside. And you know what it proves to me? You know, with the Bucs leading the NFC in scoring, Jameis' interceptions are a problem. They're not the problem. The problem is the pass defense, specifically at secondary. That's awful.
And what makes it worse? They got the best run defense in football.
By the way,
so teams are 3rd and 7 all the time, and they're still completing passes left and right.
That's bad. By the way, with the exception of Aaron Donald, is there a defensive tackle playing better than Vita Vea?
He's pushing that pocket.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job. Now, Lee, hold on. I got to stop you right now. I can't let this go on any further. I understand your thing about the NFC points. I understand that. And the most important stat is points.
Besides wins.
Much more important than yards. I understand that. But, Lee, I want to be very clear to Buck Nation right now in the middle of this podcast. If the season ended today, I'm not bringing Winston back. If the season ended today. And Lee, I really don't understand why you wouldn't agree with that. If they're 2-4, meaning they're 6-10, and he's online to throw 24 or 25 interceptions, are you going to stick with him, Lee? Why are you going to stick with him?
Well, simply put, and this isn't a full answer, I'll just put it very simply. I'll use the words of the immortal Raheem Morris. I'll tolerate you until I can replace you. Unless they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, or they make some kind of weird trade, I'll tolerate you till I replace you.
But aren't wouldn't they just be treading water with Jameis Winston? Treading water, kicking the can down the road?
I think that would be the case if you had a Mike Glennon type as quarterback. That's what I call kicking the can and treading water.
But you expected more in year 5. You expected
more. Well, I don't expect him to throw 5 interceptions. That's for sure. And I go back to something I've been harping on for a couple of years. With that pass defense, Aaron Rodgers couldn't win. Philip Rivers couldn't win. I could rattle off all kinds of quarterbacks that couldn't win. So I can't hang that on Jameis. And that is partially what's wrong with Jameis. What has Bruce Arians been saying the last couple weeks? He's trying to be Superman because he knows he's got to score damn near every possession.
I'm going to stick with my thing. I'm moving on. If the season ended today, and it doesn't, he's got 10 games left to change my mind. Plenty of time. He's got weapons. Even you admit that. Now,
I will say this. If he has like 3 more 5 interception games, yeah.
The line is not distinguished in themselves. And it wasn't just the 2 new starters on the right side. Marpet left his playbook in one Buck place. Forgot to take it on the plane. He didn't play particularly
well. Jensen was the only guy who played well.
Jensen, to me, has been the best Buck offensive lineman.
I think that's fair.
And he's played markedly better than he did last year. I don't know. And he's played hurt. and he's played hurt.
Oh, that's right. He has been hurt.
What is going on with O.J. Howard? Now, are people calling him softly? Did I see a story on Joe Buck's fan?
Your friend Ian Beckles referred to him as soft because he ran out of bounds on the five-yard line. And Beckles, you know, it was the old Franco Harris argument. You know, Franco Harris sees a tackle. He's running along the sidelines. He stepped out, and Jim Brown scoffed at him for that.
Lee, if anybody's going to get to the bottom of this O.J. Howard mystery, and it's a damn mystery right now, it's going to be us. Well, we're going to find out what's going on.
Well, I think I know why.
And this thing about using him as a blocker is the craziest thing I've ever heard. One, he's an average blocker. And two, you didn't draft him to be a blocker. What's going on?
Well, first off, Aaron's didn't draft him, so that's number one. Number two, I think this speaks to your previous subject. The fact that they're holding Howard back to block so much. The offensive line, you're talking about the offensive line struggling. And now, for at least the next two games, well, at least against Tennessee, it looks like both Dotson and Kappa will be out. Now, Dotson has a prayer coming back. Kappa, Aaron's already said, no way. Maybe he can get back against Seattle. But I think that adds to that. And you're right. You don't draft the tight end that high to be a blocker, but I think it's out of necessity.
You might as well play Anthony Auclair.
Well, I wrote something the
other day.
How about that? Yeah, well, I don't disagree with you. I don't know if you read this or not, but I wrote a story. I think it was, Albert Breer came out and said he talked to several teams that apparently called light, testing the waters about O.J. Howard.
They think they can get him on the cheap. That's what they think.
And all of them said no. Light told all of them no. And I wrote a story, and I was being facetious in the story, here's what here's the conversation. And part of that conversation is the general manager's telling Jason Light, hey, you're not using O.J. Howard anymore. I can take him off your hands for you.
When a team's 2-4, the vultures circle, and they swoop in. Bravo, Jason Light, for not accepting those offers. Lee, let's touch on for a minute. Two big-name corners changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
One was Jalen Ramsey, who commanded a heavy, heavy price.
Too heavy.
For the Rams.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Peters, I guess Ramsey replaces Peters, right? You know, and on paper, Ramsey and Tlaib, I mean, that's a strong tandem, on paper. Let me say this. One, I'm not giving up two number ones unless I'm getting a franchise quarterback. I'm not doing that. Two, I think Ramsey's a troublemaker. I think he's a problem.
He's going to be okay.
I give him a year before he's bitching about something.
He starts having back problems again?
I mean.
Notice he's going to start this week?
Yeah.
All of a sudden the back's fine.
Yeah, you know, I got the flu. I mean, that was a sham. Everybody knew it. He had never missed a game. Yeah. Going into the season, never missed a game. Peters, I believe, is totally overrated. He's flashy. He gambles all the time.
Yes.
Now, look, I had him with the Chiefs, mm-hmm. You know, and you know how I follow the Chiefs. He's going to get 5-6 picks. He will. But he's going to get beat like a drum also. Remember what Mike Evans did? Didn't even put a move on him straight down the field.
Yeah.
Left him 10 yards behind. So I think he's overrated, Peters. Now, Ramsey's not overrated as a football player. He's a football player. He can play,
he's
Ramsey.
Good, but he may be overrated. Now, the reason why, he's not Deion.
No, nobody's Deion.
Deion would give up two.
Maybe Revis in his prime.
Yeah, I would give up two first-round picks for Deion, but not for Ramsey.
Now, there may be another guy out there. His name's Patrick Peterson. What's your thinking? Depends on the price?
The price ought to be cheap because he's a rental. He ought to be cheap. You know, he's 30 years old.
Now, he makes a lot of money.
Find a way. If that means you got to trade Brayton and let someone go, find a way.
I asked Brooks about Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm.
What's he think?
He said, heck of a player.
Wow. Peterson, he's 30 years old. The price will be cheap, and the contract factors in as well. The cost will not be. If that makes sense. The price to trade for him, to acquire his rights, should be cheap. The price of keeping him will not be cheap.
He's going to want to be the highest paid quarterback, right? I mean, based on his history. I believe he's made the Pro Bowl every season.
Wow.
He's been in the league.
Well, you know what? If Jason Light doesn't do anything about this secondary, that tells me he's playing for the draft.
He's committed a lot of resources
to it. Yes, he sure has. But everybody and their brother can see how terrible it is. If you don't, you know.
Is it scheme or is it talent?
I think it's both. Probably talent more than anything. Inaction doesn't mean improvement. And right now, this may sound just utterly ridiculous, but I believe this. And I believe it even more after I found out about, you know, how many points the Bucs are scoring. James has more points than Mahomes.
My Chiefs are in trouble. That'll be another podcast.
They're not in trouble. The thing about this is the Bucs have a puncher's chance of making a wild card run. That will not happen if they do not fix the secondary. Now, I don't expect the secondary to be overnight better. And nor do I think hope is going to change anything. I think it's pretty fair to say that Vernon Hargreaves will not be here next year. I think it's fair to say. I like Vernon. I think he's a smart guy. Always gotten along with him. I'm just saying what I'm seeing. I think it's, you know, like you said about James.
They picked on him right from the start. The
last couple weeks they are. So that's pretty clear. And didn't Arians refer to Carlton Davis as his best corner? And Hargrave is the most expensive corner. You need some help, guys. If they fix
they
that secondary.
They got Dean. They got Bunting. I mean, well,
and where are they? I can't remember who wrote this.
Probably me.
It was Allman, actually. It was Allman. Greg Allman of The Athletic. He said the big, you know, he had a list of biggest disappointments of the Bucks. And to me, this was the biggest. But he didn't list it. He just said disappointments. He specifically said the rookie defensive backs. I would include the entire secondary. I don't care how old they are. The entire secondary is awful. Think about this. Whitehead arguably is their best player in the defensive back. He's a fourth-round pick. And Carlton Davis, he's okay. I don't know if he would ever be in. Half the teams in the NFL, he would not be a number one quarterback.
So you want them making a move before the Tennessee
game. Yeah, and it doesn't, preferably before the trade deadline, obviously. It doesn't have to be Patrick Peterson. If they can get him and somehow squeeze him under the salary cap, you know, way to go, Jason Light. But it doesn't have to, just get someone competent. Get a starter that's competent. Doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler. Doesn't have to be a big name. But some that guy that you know is not going to be picked on every other possession.
Do you think that, have you noticed anything where Bowles is getting a little more conservative in terms of how far they're not playing press coverage like they used to the first 2 weeks?
I haven't really studied it that far, so I don't know.
All right, what's going on with Shaq Barrett? Could JPP's return or potential return add a little spice to a pass rush that's gone south?
Why don't people want to hear your view, not necessarily mine? You answer that. It's your podcast.
Look, right. I'll say this. You and I do not question JPP's pain tolerance, his resilience. Unquestioned.
He's
already proven that. But to think that missing training camp, you're working out on your own, but you're not in football shape. You're in shape, but you're not in football shape. And all of a sudden, you're going to come in your first game, you're going to be right back to where you were with a very serious injury. It may take a while. He may not be effective the rest of the season, if he comes back at all. That's not something I want to pin my hopes to.
Me neither. I mean, I have two things to add to that. Number one, I think it's ominous that they reworked his contract. He's going to be a free agent this year.
He's not going to be here next year.
Well, if you were so confident this guy's going to do that, why would you rework his contract where he's going to be a free agent? That tells me that you don't think he can do that. So if you don't think he can do that, why are you banking on him to do that? That I don't understand, number one. Number two, and I'll just tell you what I was told this past summer. I asked someone at One Buck Palace that would know. Someone, what was Mike Florio say? Someone with knowledge of the situation.
There you go. I
spoke to this gentleman, and I asked him about JPP, and you could see him just exhale like, oh, no. Like, he got real depressed. He hung his head, and he said, we're just hoping that the same guy that can come back from blowing his hand up can do the same with his neck injury. And I'm thinking to myself, that's one hell of a Hail Mary.
I asked Brooks about Devin White. Lee, here's what he said.
Who?
Lee, you're in prime form today. Brooks, who played, obviously, the position linebacker, like almost nobody else in NFL history, one of the 100 greatest players in history, in my opinion.
Mm.
He said he blew a call against McCaffrey. He lost McCaffrey.
It happens, rookie.
It happens. Now, that should not happen. He's the one guy you must account for.
Yeah, but a rookie, I get it.
But he thought he bounced back. He did. He said he didn't hang his head, and he made a couple of plays.
He didn't play bad,
as the game went on.
Yeah, he didn't play bad.
That showed a mental fortitude for Brooks, and that's what he looks for.
Oh, wow.
I think White will continue to get better.
Because, you know, the Bucks pin so much expectations on the guy. That's why Steve and I, and you like this word, derisively refer to him as the savior. Because they said he was going to do everything. He was going to pick off balls. He's going to sack quarterbacks. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. You know, sideline to sideline. And I'm waiting.
Lee, we don't duck any subjects here on this podcast. One of the reasons that it's so highly rated. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to answer it. And then you're going to answer it.
Sure, there you go.
And it's the question of the day. And here it is.
I'm not buying.
Here it is. If they lose in Nashville, are they done? Season over?
They should.
Because they got to go to Seattle the following week. Are they done?
I would start trading people and building up for the draft. And then you start...
Now you want a good draft pick. Now you want a top five draft pick.
Not just that, you'll have a good draft pick if you... Because they might have a top five draft pick. And if you start trading players, you're adding ammunition. Then you have to ask yourself, do we get this quarterback from Oregon? Do we get Jake Fromm? Do we get Hurts?
The kid on LSU looks pretty good.
Not bad, Hurts. Yeah. That's when you have to start asking yourself, do we just go to a rebuild? And if you ask that, the next question is, does Arians return?
That is exactly the next question. Now, Arians might relish the chance to work with a quarterback that he likes coming out of the draft.
And he would have, I would guess, if he sticks around and the Bucs decide to go for a quarterback, it would be his pick.
It would be his pick. Absolutely right. Lee, we touched on this. This is a way we can wrap up this podcast. I think the worst case scenario is the Bucs finish 8-8. Arians has his postseason meeting in private with the Glazers. And Jason Light can be in the room. That's fine. they'll give him a key to his office. You know, the Glazers are sitting around. Bruce, coach, what do you think? Is number three the guy? Is number three the guy? And Arian says, I think we can do better. We have to do better. And what if the Glazers still think Winston's the guy?
Well,
if they have a difference of opinion?
Well, they're the final say, of course. Doesn't matter. They're the final say.
Can you bring Arians back if he's telling you Winston's not the guy, and you tell him to bring him back with Winston? I mean, that's a rough spot. That's a rough spot.
What, for Arians?
Yeah, for Arians.
That's a rough spot. But like I said, you know, the people that own the club, if they want Winston, that's the final say.
There's no question Arians is going to give an honest answer, though.
Yeah.
He's not gonna manufacture something.
As you would say, he will not mince words.
He will not mince words. I say it again, Lee, and this is where you and I part company. If things don't change, if they remain the same, even if they lead the NFC in points and they're on track to go 6-10, and he throws 24 interceptions, I'm moving on. That's where you and I are different.
Yeah, you know, I see the positive.
You like those points, and they're averaging 28, 29 points. I mean, it's a big number.
Well, there's a lot of factors, and I don't.
Question is, why is the defense giving up 30?
Well, that's how I was going to say that. If Jameis is throwing a bunch of picks, but they're leading the league in scoring or leading the NFC, and then I look at the secondary, and if the secondary's still lousy, I can't hang it on Jameis. There's no way I can hang it on Jameis.
Now, Lee, you know as well as anybody, quarterbacks make the big money, and they tend to get looked at a little differently. They're held to a little higher standard than Sean Bunting. Yeah, you know. So, Lee, I guess what we're saying is these 10 games will tell the tale.
They should, yeah. You know, there's also a couple factors I just thought of as far as Jameis's potential salary, potential contract. Now, I was thinking about this last week, and I thought it might be too bizarre to actually write about or talk about, but now that Peter King went there, I'll go ahead and say it. Yeah, Jameis had a garbage game Sunday. But that helps the Bucs out in a sense in the long run. Salary cap. You're not going to give the guy a boatload of money. You're not going to give him Aaron Rodgers money or whomever. You're not going to give him $25 million. Like Jameis, we'd like to keep you as a starter, but you know, well, there's no way we could justify this kind of money. So, and here's another thing I don't know about. And this is just absolute, just a guess, just speculation. I have no idea. The Glazers might have an idea. I don't know if Light has an idea. I doubt that Arians has an idea. What's this new CBA going to look like? And just for background for people, the NFL and the NFLPA, the current players' contract runs out after the 2020 season. They're in negotiations as we speak. And if you believe the right connected people, that both sides want to get this deal done before the end of this year, before the end of the calendar year. Could the NFL do something? And I don't follow the NBA, so I don't know. Right about this time is when I started tuning out the NBA. They go Larry Bird rule. Isn't it that where one guy doesn't count against the cap? Is that correct or not?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not up to the particulars, but I understand what you're
saying. So maybe, and I don't know this, and I'm just speculating. I've never heard this. I'm just speculating, guessing. Perhaps the NFL comes out with some kind of thing as a carrot to the NFLPA. Okay, we'll allow teams, one player does not get charged against the salary cap. That would obviously be a quarterback. So then it really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is if the owners want to cough up the money or not. It doesn't matter against the cap.
I guess, you know, Lee, what you said got me to thinking how to crystallize my thoughts on Winston. And here's what I'll say. If after the season I'm still hung up and very hesitant to make him the first Bucks drafted quarterback to get a lucrative long-term extension and break that crazy stat that nobody can believe. You tell somebody out of town that.
They don't believe.
They don't believe.
Yeah.
They've been playing since 76. If you are still hesitant and you don't quite know for sure whether you want to go for that four-year, $97 million deal, what does that tell you? That means after 5 years, you still don't know what you got, and that tells me more than I need to know. I got to move on. So, Lee, we're moving on in this podcast.
Well, I got to ask you one thing as we finish this podcast. In Peter King's appearance with Russo, his weekly appearance, he brought up something. Were you with the Giants, or were you covered in the Giants when King was on the beat?
He might have been in Cincinnati.
Well, he had a great line, and see, this sounds like Parcells. I thought this was great. You know, King was basically trying to get Parcells to talk about, in so many words, but King didn't say it, a moral victory. Like, hey, you played really well, but, and Parcells said, King, you got a media guide? And Peter King, yeah, let me see it. Hands the media guide. He goes, it says here, last year's schedule. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Doesn't say anything about moral victories. That sounds like Parcells.
We're out of here, and we'll be back next week, guys, with two more podcasts. By that time, we will see if Jason Light has pulled the trigger on a deal. There may be a new member of One Buck Place. We shall see.